Yeah, that's our secret sauce. And we've realized over the last, especially over the last couple of months, as I've been coming out of my maternity leave, I have this fresh mindset. And okay, we're looking at the business with quote unquote rested eyes. Don't know how rested I really am. But one of the things that we've learned is it's the systems that really sets us apart. And part of that is what you were talking about, our branding fundamentals. And so getting into, okay, what is a core message? What's your unique selling proposition? What are your value propositions? What really
In the world of rulers, grids, and pixels, where creativity knows no bounds, we champion the rebels, the dreamers, and the innovators, the ones who didn't wait for permission but forged their own path in design. I'm Joanna, your fellow self-taught designer and founder of Savvy Chic Design, and this is the Self-Taught Designer Podcast. Dive with us into the story of audacity, grit, and imagination from designers who made it on their own terms. So grab your tools, ignite that spark, and let's dive into the world where every line, curve, and pixel tells a story. Hey, welcome to our another episode here in the Self-Taught Designer Podcast. I am so happy that you are here with me. Please do make sure to download and also subscribe in your favorite podcast, whichever it is, Spotify, Apple, wherever you are listening to us right now. So one thing I really love about having a business is building that connection and wherein you can work with like-minded individuals who has the same vision to help your clients. And I'm just so happy to have our special guest because this is a type of topic that, or as well as something that I'm not really good at it. Not that I'm not good at it, but it's something that I know is not my cup of tea. So it is all about copywriting, content creating, especially for our clients. So our guest for today is the co-founder and CEO of Focus Copy, our copywriting and content writing firm based in Houston, Texas. Lauren Jefferson, welcome to our podcast. Thank you so much.
Awesome. So excited to be here.
Yay. I know behind the scene, I know you just came back from maternity leave and we've just talked on how fast your baby is now, like 13 weeks, but I'd surely love to learn more about your journey in co-founding Focus Copy and a little bit more about you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I actually started my whole career being a digital marketer and I did everything possible that touched the internet. But one thing I learned very quickly is if you do not spend enough time on the words, it doesn't matter how much ad budget you put in, how much traffic you drive to your website, how big your email list, it's not going to work. And so I started investing a lot more of my time, a lot more of my resources into learning, okay, what actually moves the needle further with the messaging, with the words in marketing and sales collateral. And that led us on a crazy wild journey with the company I was with before. And then I started Focus Copy just over 4 years ago. We just had our fourth anniversary back in August.
Wow, that is so exciting. Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
4 years.
Yeah, it's crazy how quickly it goes by. Just like babies, our business babies grow up quickly.
That is so true. That is so true. And you know what? Copywriting is really something like most of our audience are self-taught designers, graphic designers, web designers. And at times, copy is something that is a bit hard or something that we don't touch. We always say, hey, have a copy and then come to us so that we can work through it, through the design, the development and everything. And sometimes this is really the bottleneck that we have because clients say, oh, I'm just going to do our own copy and we're just going to figure it out. And then here you have a copy that either doesn't make sense or it doesn't make, there's no strategic flow into it. Now, tell us a little bit about more copywriting, especially when you mentioned converting copies to help with sales, to help with marketing. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that whole psychology of writing a good copy for your website or for your marketing materials.
Yeah, writing is kind of easy in a way, but it's difficult because you have to break so many rules. And so when you think about growing up in school and you have K through 12 and you're learning proper English, we basically throw that out the door. Because if you think about it, as humans, we don't talk in correct English sentences or correct English syntax, and we don't use grammar. I'm sure I'm making and butchering up all sorts of words and sentences as we talk on this podcast, but that's how humans talk. And so we throw out the rule book And we go in, what do humans need to hear in order to make a decision? And most humans are emotional. Even the most logical humans, they make their decisions with an emotional basis. And so we need to find the emotional side of it. And I promise you, we can find it even in the most boring and technical industries and topics. We can find whatever emotion that's going to really push the needle over for them to start thinking, okay, logically, this is a good decision for me to opt in or to buy from this service provider or buy this product because they have the emotional buy-in. And we can give any example, even industrial hosing and suppliers. We worked with an industrial hosing and hydraulic supplier, which, you know, that's a very sexy business. Insert severe sarcasm there. And the big thing with that company was that they really build a relationship and they are very timely focused. So when you relate to the time equals profit, and you start going into the stresses and like having a reliable partner that you can trust, that way you never have any hiccups in your business, that gets into the emotional side and becomes a big selling point. So that's it in a nutshell.
Yeah, I love those because, yeah, we buy through emotions. Like, that's why we see like a commercial or some taglines that really create a hook and you resonate with that. You end up buying from it. That's just also with design, right? When we design things, you need to design it in a way that conveys emotion that is really attracting whatever action you want to do. And sometimes it's so hard as well. That's just a really good point. Now, at times, right, this type of generating and capturing that emotion as either as a graphic designer or a web designer, it's a bit hard. And that's where comes in partnership. And for those of you who are listening right now, make sure to download this one, okay? And the good thing is that me and Lauren, we met through a mutual client. And she came in, she was working, she wanted to work with us. So we started that process. And then we were on the stage like, okay, I need a copy. I need the copy right now. And then she mentioned, oh, I'm working with Focus Copy. Lauren is our copywriter. Her company is doing awesome. And that's how we kind of partnering, sending out clients back and forth. But what are the things that you can also advise some of those clients or graphic designers who are looking for a right fit for a copywriter? Tell us a little bit that, because I know you work with a lot of designers, right? And other creatives as well as a partner.
Yeah, I think we've networked with like over 70 marketing agencies across the nation. So we work with agencies all the time. We work with website designers. We work with branding agencies. It's all across the board. You're definitely one of our favorites. We love what you do over here. But the big thing I think is to find somebody that you can trust and that you connect with, because ultimately your clients are the most important people. Your customer is the most important person in your business. And so you need to have somebody that you trust and that you can rely on. And so part of it is finding that personal connection, that emotional connection of, okay, this person knows what they're doing, A, so they have the expertise, they have the experience, but also we trust them and they have the authority and they're going to respect my company. They're going to honor what we do here. And so I think that's a real big part of finding a good partnership. That way, when we're working with clients, I know when I send clients up to you, it's, yeah, Joanna's got them. I promise you, I don't even have a doubt in my mind. Like, she's going to take care of you. You're going to have a beautiful website. You're going to have beautiful design. And so that's really the key of finding a good partner. And sometimes it takes a couple people to network with before you find that person.
That is so true. Indeed, that relationship and that trust is very important because it's just like handing over trust, because these are people who are asking you like, who's your copywriter? Or yeah, send them over. Let me learn about them and making sure that when it comes, because we both really work independently. You have your business, you have your process, you have there. And then when things comes in our way or the other way around, okay, this is all covered. And then we just communicate behind the scene, like which one is missing or I need a little bit more help on this just to verify things. And that is so true, because it took me time to really find a good copywriter that I could partner with, who understand that vision and really just take care of the clients and really just work with. And that is so important as well. Now with copywriting, like there are different, right? You have website, you have sales copy, you have marketing copy. So there's a lot of work into that. And those are different types of purpose and intention as well.
Yep.
I know one part of the process that you have is what you call like the branding fundamentals, like the foundational. Tell me a little bit about that, or tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's our secret sauce. And we've realized over the last, especially over the last couple of months, as I've been coming out of my maternity leave, I have this fresh mindset. And okay, we're looking at the business with quote unquote rested eyes. Don't know how rested I really am. But one of the things that we've learned is it's the systems that really sets us apart. And part of that is what you were talking about, our branding fundamentals. And so getting into, okay, what is a core message? What's your unique selling proposition? What are your value propositions? What really sets you apart? Figuring out what that core messaging is. And then we go into the brand voice, because ultimately you have a very unique voice. You have very unique experiences, and it doesn't matter how many of you are out in the world. Like, we write for a lot of health and wellness coaches, and every single one of them has theoretically could do the same exact offer, same exact service, but they have a very unique way of going about it. And so we want to honor that. We want to create a brand voice that comes out of that. And then we need to know who your target audience is. Who are your customers? What makes them tick? Because as soon as we can relay that with your brand voice, you're going to start building a digital relationship with them. So when you get on the phone with them or you get on a Zoom call with them, they're like, yep, I already get you. I already feel some sort of camaraderie with you. I already know you. We're skipping the whole, hi, nice to meet you, into let's actually have a conversation and sit down for coffee and that type of thing. So that's our tool to get us started. Without that, it's going into a blank page and seeing the haunting little cursor blink at you, and it's going to screw up your productivity severely. And so this kind of gives you that jump start to where you're building on top of something versus building something from the ground up.
Yes. And I love that one. I actually love that service of Lauren, a focus copy offer, because when we do branding, we do the brand design. There is always, so we go through the same whole process, but we're more focused on the design now. So what we're doing right now in Savvy Chic Design is that I'm incorporating this brand fundamental into us and really having Lauren as a partner. So if you're one of our clients, you are surely going to work with more of Lauren. Maybe she doesn't know this way yet. Like, I'm saying this out loud because I always say, hey, Lauren, we have a prospect here, so I'm going to send out. But that's one thing I love about that branding fundamental, because it's really important to have that base understanding in order for you to convey it in words really clear, so that when we design as well, like when we do the partner, okay, we can really transform it in the brand voice words to the design brand voice through the visual creation. And I love that secret sauce. We're not giving much of the secret. We're not giving much of the secret.
Yeah, I know.
But
what's funny is you can use this exact tool. So say if you work with focus copy, but you also want to write yourself, and you also have employees that write, say, social media copy, and then you hire another writer to do XYZ, they can use the exact same document and write like you. And so it gets really creepy that you have multiple people writing with you using your voice. And so that's our goal with this whole document, is to really be able to scale up. We're actually, speaking of AI, like, we're actually adding like a whole nother AI prompt of like, how do we summarize everything in this doc to where you can go in and copy it into ChatGPT so it can produce some more accurate copy for you.
That is good. That is a really good, because I'm so excited as well to talk about the AI world, because when that came in, ChatGPT with the design as well, like Canva just released last Wednesday their Magic Studio with AI, the copy and everything. This are a certain sector in the creative space that was really a bit worried, right? Let's be honest. Like, I bet we had some sleep. Okay, how will I implement this in my business? How can I incorporate this one?
Yeah.
So we've jumped into that conversation with AI and everything. How does artificial intelligence impact it, the field of copywriting? What specific like things are happening right now that is affecting this?
Yeah, we've had a lot of conversations this year, as you can imagine, about AI, considering a lot of people are like immediately thinking, like, oh, is this taking your job? A, it's not taking our job, because humans are still the decision maker, and humans can really, they can sniff out robots really quickly. And so humans, like humans, are able to build know and trust factors with other humans. And so AI hasn't quite made it to that point. Maybe in 10, 20 years, who knows? But as of right now, we have this secret, I keep going back to the whole secret sauce of being a human and having all sorts of errors in our speech and all sorts of different things. But the big thing that we've been looking at is using ChatGPT as a tool, not necessarily a replacement. And we have actually been doing a lot of tests of AI versus human copy, even like when talking about social media, and like, it gets very formulaic. I could pull up Instagram right now and pull up a couple captions and like, yep, ChatGPT wrote that, ChatGPT wrote that, a human wrote that. So it's becoming really easy. And so people, your audience is going to learn how to detect that really quickly, especially if they start to use AI more often. So starting with using it as a tool, so using it for ideation or workshopping, brainstorming, all of that. You can even have it as a starting basis. But then when you get into the whole SEO side, we want more authentic and trustworthy content, right? Google released their EEAT. So that's experience, expertise, authority, and trustworthiness. So if you don't have any four of those factors, Google's going to dock you. And so AI can't necessarily replicate that. It can try, but that's where your own experience comes in to play and really adding that flair. And then there's a whole legal implication of like, where are they sourcing the information from? Like, I know ChatGPT was only sourcing, and I need to see if they've updated it, but they only were able to access up to 2021. What's happened over the last 2 years? Trying to figure out, okay, where are they sourcing their information? Same with intellectual property implications. Are they infringing with information that they provide you? Are they infringing on any copyright or trademarks? You don't want to get a cease and desist letter or even a lawsuit. Want to avoid that completely. And then figuring out what it actually does to your brand. Do you want to be a brand that's on top of it and really in touch with your clients? Or do you want to be a brand that's just getting stuff out just because you're supposed to get stuff out in the world? And so trying to figure out what that fine dance is. So that's why we use it as a tool, not necessarily a replacement.
Yes, that is true. When you also said that you can scan already like in social media posts, because I have been doing it as a tool, right, to help spit out faster content in the brain. But key things you've said is that it still needs the human factor in it, because you input information. And that's where I'm so excited, actually, of the prompts that you are creating to help that one out, right, to help that tool. And then also the more you use it, the more there's a pattern of it. You'll see like the calling all entrepreneurs. I've seen that, calling all coaches, like, okay, this is ChatGPT, and then two paragraph, and then emoji on the side, and then call to action. So there's really a little bit of a pattern already that is happening. Yeah. And I am wondering as well, because you did mention where it gets this information. I myself was like, I really don't know. Does it just copy it, like scan all through the emails content out there? What do you
do? Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. From what I've read, it takes everything that Google's had indexed sent up until 2021. And then it is able to decipher through. So that's why, like, I get into the IP implications, and there's like a whole other conversation. We've had a lot of conversations with some fellow attorneys talking about that, whether it's copyright and trademark infringement, whether it's, can you actually use the information that ChatGPT spits out for commercial uses, and some of the terms of service. It's a little sketchy. It's looking at all sorts of different variables when it comes to producing content. So that's why we primarily use it as an ideation standpoint. And so taking it as like our fundamentals package and like that branding fundamentals, figuring out what is a foundation and then building on top of that.
Yeah, that is, there's really going to be a fine line somewhere there, just figuring out and how to. But in one of your, like, because you've noticed, you mentioned like you're testing it, you know, how things are, just making sure if it's just really something that will empower as a tool. Have you ever done like any testing when it comes to maybe, I know that there are tools like for plagiarism, just checking it, because I heard it from somewhere that they've tested it. It seems like it's really not scanning that. And then have you tried that? Doing that one as well as
we part haven't of run it through plagiarism check yet, That's actually a really good idea for me to actually play with. We're writing a whole blog series on AI and copywriting right now as we speak. Like we're up to, I think, 9 blog posts that we're going to be releasing. So we're doing a lot of testing. So that's a great idea to run it through. From what I've understood and read so far is that it jumbles up the words to where it just gets past the plagiarism. But then again, you may be stealing somebody else's intellectual property. And depending on what you're actually doing and like how deep you get into. So even when I'm talking more on like the medical health and wellness side, that's where we've seen a lot of that more controversial. And even on the legal side, I've heard a lot of stories from business attorneys and our network where they've had ChatGPT write full caseloads and it's using the wrong law, it's using outdated law, and like just a whole series of mess. So that's why like having that human oversight is so crucial to protecting your brand.
Yeah, because even like us, right? So we are using it as a tool, especially with blog content and everything, just to help out, because sometimes we can get stuck, right? And that stuck it up to just like not doing it and everything. But one thing I always say is that cross-check it just to make sure, just cross-check everything, making sure tone of voice is still get approved as a business owner. You scan it, you read it, the tone of voice is there. So it's really good. And because I also use Grammarly at times, because I can copy paste it and just see, and it really doesn't scan anything like, oh, it's 100% original words. Yeah. It says that one. I said, okay, that is really.
And even Grammarly isn't all that accurate because we use it as like an extra check. We have like our whole editing process. And there's so many times where I'm like, no, Grammarly, you are dead wrong in this. So I've took the little X or the ignore quite frequently, actually, just because it doesn't understand, especially when we get into very technical industries. Like we have to do that a lot with our aviation clients, for example. Not all AI is perfect. I know it's working on it, but use your brain. That's like the biggest piece of advice I can give to people that are trying to use AI and really implement it in their business.
And that's where really a reminder, right? For those who are a bit scared, like industry or maybe business owners or those freelancers who are a little bit scared, maybe some of their clients can just, oh, I'm just going to cancel my subscription because I can do this one more or all of this more. I think what's a key thing is that learning how the tool can help you out, because now you can upsell it like, oh, sure, you can surely use ChatGPT or whatever it is. And then I do have now a service that I can quality check and proofread, right? That work. Yeah. There's more possibility. And I love that you're working on the prompts. You have a blog series that you will be doing as well. And all of these things. Now, with copywriting, that you've really mentioned that the role of the human process is always there, right? And you mentioned that you do have that process of editing and processing. Tell us a little bit about that type of process. Like you research, you write, and then you tell us a little bit about that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, the biggest part or the biggest problem that I think people that are trying to DIY their own copywriting is that they try to do everything in one sitting. And we had one of our very first clients, she came to us and she was like, yeah, it takes me about 8 hours on average to write a blog. I was so dumbfounded because that's a fifth of your week if you're working a 40-hour work week, which I know entrepreneurs do not do. We work a lot more. But I was so shocked that she was dedicating that much. And that was on a weekly basis that she was releasing blogs. And so it was such a big waste of her time. And after that, we've started talking about more of, okay, you cannot do the outlining, the research, the writing, the editing, the finalizing, the proofing, all that in one sitting. You have to break it up. And so we've actually broken up every single deliverable into multiple steps, from the outlining, the researching, the writing, the editing, the SEOing, the finalizing, the publishing or sending, and making sure that it's all, we've done all of our cross checks, and we separated those all into separate tasks. And so we don't do them all at once. And we usually have at least one other person cross-checking each other's work. So I'm never going to write a blog, even though I'm CEO of a copywriting business. I'm never going to write a blog and go publish it without somebody on my team proofing it. And that just provides that extra level of accountability of, okay, Does this match the brand? Are we on point with what we're doing? Is there any other angles that we can add in here? Can somebody challenge me even more to be a better writer? And so having another person on your team or that you can refer to really go in. And so even when you're working on AI, and I'm sure you experience this with design as well. Oftentimes you're like, what do you want in your design? Crickets. What do you want to communicate in your copy? Crickets. If you're not practiced in this, you don't know how to describe what you want to do. And so I think that's the big downfall of AI and why AI may not work for some companies because they don't know what they want.
Yeah, I love that how you mentioned just, it's just that process and that going through everything. And there are really times like, because we do content, right? And you feel like your eyes is really just there, okay, reading everything. And then when you post it, no one's checking. It's okay, the eye become there, that one. Like,
yeah.
I've been looking at it for hours and it's really correct. How did you find that one, right? That cross-checking. And that's the value of having a team like Focus Copy who's really... So that process, that cross-checking, that verification is really helping out with the copy that clients are really using once they hire a copywriter as well. Now, have you ever had like a certain challenge? Because I always say this one, like design is a transference, like it's a transfer of your vision and then we turn it into the visual creation. It's just like you talk to me, you tell to me, and it's a transfer. And there are times that I was like, oh my gosh, why am I not hitting this, right? Have you had that instances? And maybe tell us a little bit about that challenge and maybe how that was overcome as well.
Yeah, definitely early on as we were building these processes, because all entrepreneurship is like building a plane 40,000 foot in the air. So I'm so thankful for those like early clients that we learned a lot from. But a big part of it was making sure that we're asking the right questions in the onboarding. And so we have a very thorough onboarding process that we go through and we can get it done in an hour, but we get deep and we get emotional. It is not uncommon for our clients to cry even in the onboarding because we want to get to that vulnerable state where clients can express what they're going. And then that's when we can really get into their brand voice. So I think having a really solid onboarding process or asking the right questions and then going into, and I just had a complete brain fart of like where we're going with that conversation. But I think asking the right questions, we were talking about challenges and then being able to break it up into different sections. We learned very early on, we take the onboarding process and we go straight to the website copy and we'd write copy. And then all of a sudden we get in and we send it and our clients are like, this is not what we wanted. So we're like, okay, let's stop, hold back. We're not even going to write until we get the overall outline produce what we call wireframe. And so I'm sure if you work with Joanna, you know wireframing very well. And so we'll actually wireframe the website copy, for example. And so we know exactly where we're going. We can ask even more detailed questions. We can get more information from the client because ultimately our client's expert, not us. And so really figuring out what that is. So having multiple steps in the process to be able to get all the information. And then we write all the copy. And then usually feedback is fairly minimal and it's just word choice versus this is all wrong. You don't get my business.
And one thing also, I don't know if you have this, sometimes challenges as well that when you know, some clients come in and then they just expect you to already hit the ball ground running without giving you a lot of input at times. Like, all right, I need some information here to go through it. And one of the things that you've actually mentioned, because this can also applies when asking clients when it comes to design, is really asking the right question. And I know that, as you mentioned, it was like a trial and error at the beginning of the stage of the business. It was like, okay, let's pull back. How were you able to really hone? Because you've mentioned about stepping back, making sure that the process are in place. And then once that come in, now you're incorporating. Tell us a little bit about where you, like, every time there was a challenge, you, okay, this part of SOP, because that's what we do sometimes, like when something gets wrong, okay, this gets entered to SOP. Tell us a little bit about that process building as a business owner, because that is very important.
Oh, it's huge. I had a conversation just this morning with another agency owner, and it was talking about SOPs and how we've built so many SOPs in our business, because a big part of it is that process and having those systems. And one way that we get SOPs written is actually doing team trainings. And I have them follow on what I'm doing. So if we're writing a blog, I'll actually write a blog on the 45-minute span. And we'll go through every single itty-bitty thing. They'll write the SOP for me and we'll cross-check, and they'll be able to ask me questions I wouldn't have thought of, or say if I skip over a step. They're like, whoa, like I missed that. So I think having the internal team to really help you develop that. I think also being able to step back and accept client feedback. That was something that was, we had one client, he was actually a commercial concrete subcontractor, knew nothing about concrete commercial construction at that point. And he asked me, we finished up his website copy, and he's like, hey, can we like do something to wrap a bow on this? And I'm like, that's it. We have a closeout meeting. And so accepting that client feedback. So we scheduled an onboarding or a closeout meeting with him. And we gathered feedback. We asked like 4 questions. We reviewed, okay, we delivered everything. Was there any other changes? What did you like? What did you not like? What could you see as an improvement? So we asked some of those questions. And out of that, we actually wrote his testimonial, which we sent him using his own words. He copied and pasted it into Google and left us a review. And part of that was like a whole multi-step process that came from one email of, hey, can we wrap a red bow on it? And so I think being able to accept client feedback and immediately implement that. Even in our onboarding, we've had very early iterations of our questionnaire, they'd be like, I really don't understand what you're talking about it. So we changed the question and we clarified, okay, how can we get this out in as few words as possible, but make it as clear as daylight to understand. So I think that's the big thing, is really listening to what your clients need and then implementing that immediately versus putting on your task list and forgetting about it or not knowing the context of it.
I so agree with that, because that's the same thing with us as well, because I have noticed that you have this idea as a business owner that this would work. And then, that simple thing, like, I don't understand this, or, oh, I'm not going to do this because this is what is written. And then, that message was not actually meant for that interpretation. Then you change it, then you implement it, then you hone it. And then I keep saying, I think our SOP is getting longer. We need to sit down again and just like tweak this one.
And
right?
Simplify it. Because we make it so complicated. The first, like, I think our first onboardings with our clients were 3 hours long. It was like stupid long. And this is like pre-COVID, and like we met in person, and like just, there was so much information. I'd write like at least 20 pages worth of notes in those meetings. And it was totally unreasonable to ask a busy entrepreneur to dedicate 3 hours to talk about their voice. Absolutely unreasonable. And so we've gotten that down to where we can knock things out in 45, 60 minutes, and we've got everything that we need to do. And it's a whole better process, same process, but just very
simplified. Condensed.
Agreed, and that's the big thing, is I'm sure you understand, even as a designer, as an entrepreneur, like we overcomplicate things all the time. So I actually have a little sign on my desk that says simplify, because I need that daily and hourly reminder not to overcomplicate things.
Agree, because we are just like in our head, we want to make sure that we do this, and then okay, this is too overwhelming, cut it down, eliminate this, move this one out, or remind ourselves. And this is a good conversation. I know we're talking about copywriting, like AI, and also business processes, because this all boils down to, when you're working with a copywriter, and then a copywriter also working with a designer, and sometimes us self-taught, even you double into the copywriting world, that this is things, and we learn a lot of things, and we learn a lot as we grow our businesses. And it's really, I think, one of the key things is that the partnership that you create between your other vendors in your business, being able to find the right fit with copywriting. If it's not your strength, guys, just hand it over and tell your clients. I don't know how it is. I was actually really afraid at time to tell my clients, just, I think you need a copywriter. I think you need to invest on that one. You know, like,
I mean, nobody likes, I know the technical side of things. I'm not a designer. I don't know how to build websites. I don't know how to do a lot of things. I don't know how to engineer a bridge or design a building, but everyone theoretically knows how to write. We've gone through K through 12. You've had some sort of like level of education, English classes. So you should be able to write. And so it seems like a defeat to be like, oh, I need to hire a copywriter because you should know how to write. But it's a totally different game. Just like I know how to draw, but I don't know how to design. And I say drawing like very vaguely.
Yes.
And not technically.
One more thing, Lauren, if I may, because part of the challenges as well, because one thing that some business owners, let's talk about that more in a business owner mindset prior to ChatGPT, them using it, is that they find it a bit costly to, oh, how much will it be for a copywriter? Oh, it's another thing on top of my website project. And I always say, if this is a long-term gain, let's already figure out the tone of voice, the words that you're going to use, because I do my own thing. And I said, Lauren, I think I need to do this, or just like consultative and everything. But how do you reframe if you have that kind of reframing that hesitation to hire somebody as a copywriter or a web designer to really recommend a copywriter as expert to help their clients?
Yeah. I think the big thing is, especially when you're redoing a website or starting a website for the first time, it's a pretty good investment, regardless of whether it's a couple thousand or we've seen some websites for 75,000. It doesn't matter what level you are. It's an investment. It's a business investment. So if you're going to invest that much money, you want to do it right. And that includes the words. And you can have, we've seen some of the ugliest websites imaginable, but have really effective copy. And they've converted significantly more than beautiful websites with mediocre to poor copy. And so really pairing what you do with the beautiful design and then what we do with the really effective and resonated copy, merging those two, you're going to have a lot more effective website. And then that's going to have a lot more trickle down effects. So that's going to go into how you communicate in your sales meetings and be more authentic. It's going to warm up those leads to where they're already buying into your sales process before you even engage with them in a conversation. And so it has a lot of other impacts and implications into your marketing and sales process. And then it also sets your business up for success. Like your internal team is going to be like, yeah, we're all for this. Like we have, like our brand, we love coffee, for example, a big coffee addict, probably added 60 plus coffee shops worldwide in 10 different countries. Like I love coffee. So there's a lot of coffee nuances in our website and our entire team happens to be coffee addicts. And whenever we're like, hey, can we go on a new coffee shop opened here? Or let's go, we found this coffee themed reel that relates to copy or something like that. So it builds that team morale to where we start dropping off all these phrases or inside jokes about coffee, for example. So it builds that team culture. So there's a lot of other things that happen when you have the right words around your business.
Agree with that when it comes to investment and long term, and it really just helped out a lot of the messaging. Because I got to be honest with you, when we are starting off, when you just want to get a website ready, whatever they're gonna whip at you in terms of text, okay, design is one thing, right? But as you become as a designer, as a business owner, you want to be of service to your clients that, hey, I'm designing this, especially nowadays. We've heard this. I need a website that converts. Right? I need my sales to convert, email to convert. It's really that, because it's now more sales driven. Design can only do one part, but copy with design is then something that we ought to share to our clients and what is important. But when they say at the end of the day, oh no, I'm just going to do my copy, I don't either not budget, I'm not ready, or maybe later on, then that's already their call. But at least our responsibility that to find a good partner copywriter that we trust, tell our clients in the website design as a self-taught designer that, hey, I'd love for you to have a copywriter to make it easier. And it actually makes our life designers easier once copy are there.
Yes. Because you know what you're designing around, you know what you're selling, and you have the words, and you can get so much more creative. If we didn't have all these copy terms, and we have this whole thesaurus and like Word doc that we pull from even, but you probably wouldn't even think about any type of like coffee stains or whatever in the design. And so it allows you to really do those play on words and really draw out, and we can even help you figure out, okay, if we want to bold this word, like I was just looking at your website, love the new copy on your website and the new design that you've done. But talking about heritage, for example, like that word like really popped out and you had it highlighted. That's something that we can help support you as we write. Like, hey, we really want you to bold this word. We think it would really draw out the attention to where your eyes are automatically pulled to it. You remember it and you find some sort of connection with you.
I love that you actually mentioned that one, because that is also one thing of a skill that a designer needs to know. Once a copy, like for example, clients make their copy and it's just like all the same font size, right? No emphasis of word. And what I love every time I work with Lauren is that, okay, this header is bold. This is the subheading. Then you have the paragraph and then emphasis of word. So as a designer, I know, oh, so this message and this paragraph, I need to emphasize it. And then sometimes like you suggest like maybe put icon here. Then we'll look for icon, because that's where I really tell my designers that we need to read a text on how we can emphasize things, because that's where we need to understand. And that's really awesome that you mentioned that one. That's why I love partnering with you, is because it helps the creative process, right? Because when we design, we need to make sure that we emphasize on words, paragraph or sections, and not just a block as well. And that is why I just really love to invite you, all self-taught designers, website, graphic designer, if you're in the stage wherein you are looking for somebody to partner with, to really check out Focus Copy. I know Lauren will be able to give you all of this amazing information about that. So Lauren, as I go into that, can you tell us a little bit about, if you can share for partnership or anyone who want to work with you as an agency or a freelancer, right? Who's looking for a very dependable copywriter and company. Tell us a little bit about that process.
Yeah, the first step is let's schedule a conversation. And so you can go onto our website. You can either go to focuscopy.com/schedule, or you can even learn about our agency partnership program at /agency, where we really have built a program to help support you as an agency, because we want to grow your business, because if your business is growing, our business is growing. And we want to help support other entrepreneurs. That's why we exist. I'm a big entrepreneurship junkie. Copywriting just happens to be my offer, my product, but we're really in here to help support entrepreneurs build the businesses that are going to impact and change the world. So starting at that and then having that conversation, figure out, are we even a good match with each other? Can we support each other? Do we have the right values? Are we aligned in how our processes work and all of that? Some agencies aren't a good fit. There's only been maybe 2-3 agencies that we've met over about, I think we've met with over like 100 or so at this point, but there's only been a handful of them where we're like, this is not going to be a good partnership. And so very rarely does that happen, but we still want to have the conversation, see if it's a good partnership. And then we figure out, okay, what's the best process? We want to build our process. We have our own internal process, but we want to be able to plug directly into you versus telling you, hey, you need to change your entire business to fit us into it. That's exactly what we did when we started working with you, is okay, let's figure out the best process. We're going to plug directly in and it's not going to cause any hiccups in your overall process, because when you have hiccups, that means time, and time wasted is money wasted. And we don't want that. We want you to be a profitable agency.
And that's also one thing that when we did starting working together, is just that, oh, it complements, right? Like I tell you, okay, this is my process. I want you to come in the beginning of the part. Then I come in and then it's just that. Because I do understand that's also one hesitation of business owners. Like, how will my process affect your process? Are we going to go jive in together? This compliment. I think that's a very good first starting point. If you all would love to see and work and have a conversation with Lauren, to go ahead and schedule that call, learn about it. And you'll love Lauren and her team. They're just on top of things. Like, I know you're on maternity leave like a few months ago, weeks ago. Yep, somebody's answering. Somebody's on top of this. So this is so cool, so that I can always give my clients as well. Now, I know that we've said about that for those who want to work with you in the agency capacity, and would this be the same process if we have some clients or listeners right now who want to hire you for their own business and for their own copywriting needs?
Yeah, same process. You can go to focuscopy.com/schedule. We'll get another conversation, see if we're good fit. I could not be the least, or like the I guess the least salesperson possible. I actually don't like sales, which sounds counterintuitive for copywriting, but the reason why it works is because we're trying to build a relationship. And when you have a relationship, you're much more likely to convert. And so we just have a conversation. What's your business doing? What's going on in your world? And we really figure out how to work with one another. So oftentimes we get into other topics, financials or operations, and it's like, hey, you're doing your own books. Let me go ahead and refer you over my bookkeeper. Let's like get that off of your plate. Let's help you focus on the things that you're really good at. And one of the things that most of our clients aren't good at and why they hire us is a copywriting. So let's take that off. Let's free you of that weight so that you can be more effective in your business.
That is so awesome. Yes. Starting a conversation, just having that, making sure that we're open and making sure that we're the right fit is the best way to go. Now, I know you mentioned that you are working on some AI prompts. Tell us a little bit of that. Will that be out? Can they download it? Or what is this all about coming soon? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So we're releasing a whole blog series on AI and a whole different warnings about it, as well as what to expect if you are using it. We're doing a whole AI versus human challenge to show you exactly what's going on, especially when it comes to social media copy. We're seeing that a lot more often. And so you can either follow us on social media at Focus Copy LLC, I think is our handle for the majority of platforms. And you can also subscribe onto our newsletter, which you can find on our website and be in the know of when that is released. And as far as our branding fundamentals, that's something that we're including. If you opt in and you become part of that process, we'll have that AI prompts to where it's specific to your company versus vague prompts that you can freely get out on the internet.
I am so excited of that one because I know we're talking behind the scene and I've incorporated the brand fundamentals because I want to make sure that is there in place before we design anything and all of these amazing things that you have to be of service to those who are using AI or who want to hire a copywriter. That is just why I love working with Focus Copy. And I'm just so looking forward for the upcoming years and months. We have our own journey as entrepreneur, but it's always nice to have that pool of people you trust and they can take care of your clients and really work together so that, just you said, when someone is successful, you're successful as well. So it's really indeed a partnership. Lauren, thank you so much for your time and doing this with me. I really appreciate it. Is there anything else that you would love to invite or share our amazing Self-Thought Designer listeners right now?
Yeah, the big thing, we have a lot of resources on our website, whether they're free downloads or whether we've written a whole host of blogs that can touch on every single aspect of our content writing. So blogging, email, sales copy, website copy, all of that. If you're looking to DIY it, we have a lot of free resources that you can access to be able to figure out how to do this thing. As we're all trying to grow our businesses, we're all in the race, and definitely encourage you, find your people, link arms with them, and go forth.
Yes. So make sure to actually check out the description on this podcast below. I'm going to be giving all of these links that Lauren has mentioned, and also make sure to subscribe to this podcast, download this episode as well, and make sure to follow Lauren Focus Copy and all of the social media platform. You can go to the website focuscopy.com and you'll surely be able to get all the information that you need so that you can either start working with Lauren, follow her, and all of the goodies that she provides. Thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you so much for being with me, Lauren.
Yeah, thank you.
And there we have it, another episode diving deep into the world of Self-Thought Designer. We truly hope these stories and insight continue to inspire and fuel your creative journey. Remember, every professional was once an amateur and every expert began as a beginner. A big thanks to our guests, sponsors, and especially you, our listener. Your support makes every episode a new adventure. If you find value in today's discussion, consider sharing this podcast with a friend, subscribe, or leave us a review. Your feedback that only help us grow, but also reach out more self-taught designers out there. So stay curious, keep pushing those boundaries, and always trust in your unique design journey. I'm Joanna, and this has been the Self-Taught Designer Podcast. See you next time.